Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. Following up on a story CFRC reported on last week, City Council voted unanimously in favor of a motion by Councillor Ridge to extend the timeline for Our Livable Solutions to submit a funded proposal for the Crossroads Village Sleeping Cabin project at June 16th Council meeting. With the original deadline set to elapse in a matter of weeks, the motion extends OLS's time by an additional 13 months to July 31, 2027. The extension is intended to allow OLS sufficient time to finalize their operational plan for the village site. Jan English, an alumni of the original Sleeping Cabin project, appeared as a delegate to speak to council ahead of their decision.
Good evening, Your Worship, council members. I'm here tonight to ask for an extension on the June 30th deadline for the cabin community to be placed at Crossroads Church. We're all here tonight because OLS has helped us in so many ways, but it's not just an organization, it's something that brings your life back. When I came to stay at the cabin community, I had been on the road for 4 years roughly, and I was at the end of my rope. It brought back my life. They respect the people that come through the door. Each and every one of us has different backgrounds. We all have different issues. They didn't treat us like we were all in one basket. They listened to what we had to say. They worked with our strengths, our weaknesses, and we became a family. It runs on many different aspects that makes it work. I can't say strongly enough that each and every one of us here has benefited hugely from that organization. When you're out there, you lose your dignity, your self-respect, everything. You become broken. It builds us back up. It made us a family. These aren't just people that I lived with in the cabin community. They're my family now. It's a very important service, and as far as I'm concerned, it's the only one out there that works. Anything you want to better yourself, they'll help you get it. They don't just work with you until you leave the community. They still help me now, and I'm housed. They still give me support. They're there if I call, if I have a question, something I need to have information on. They're still very much part of my life. It's a very important organization, and I can't say how strongly I feel about this. All we can ask is that you please extend the deadline so it can continue.
The council motion recognized the work OLS has done to date, citing the line of credit the group has secured, commitments from private donors, and advancing negotiations with a provincial entity for a social enterprise. It also acknowledged that extending the timeline supports the city's commitment to increasing housing stability and reducing homelessness in Kingston. The motion also directed staff to hold off on any plans to sell the 17 cabins the city has had in storage until after the new July 31st, 2027 extension had passed, and allows OLS representatives to view the sleeping cabins to assess their condition. Acting Executive Director Crystal Wilson had previously told CFRC that the whereabouts and condition of the cabins had not been disclosed to them since the conclusion of their pilot project.
I think that it's only fair that OLS have the opportunity to assess the conditions of the cabins as part of their planning for the preparation of Crossroad Village. But simultaneously, if the city were to take the cabins as an asset, we also need to know the condition regardless. And so that I think that it's important in terms of prudence and also kindness to OLS to move forward with that.
OLS reached out to council to request this extension to finalize their operational plan and complete necessary planning and development steps prior to submitting a funded proposal. The vote, which came at the tail end of a 4.5-hour council meeting, passed without questions or comments from council members. CFRC spoke with Crystal Wilson about council's decision and what the next steps are for Crossroads Village.
First of all, I wanted to congratulate you on succeeding with the extension. So this gives you until the end of July of 2027 now. How are you feeling about this decision?
Well, I'm glad council supported. I think, you know, it's a really good program, and Jan English and a number of alumni came to support the delegation, and Jan did a fantastic job. And you know, we continually go back to people who've stayed in the program and in the cabins and say, should we keep pursuing? Is there a better alternative at this point? Should we keep pursuing, and or should we just move on and try something else? And they keep telling us to keep pushing for it. That the cabins work for them. It's not just the cabins. It's not the physical structure. It's the program that we offer within them. And a number of them keep saying that they want their cabins back. What they're saying and what they miss is the community. And, you know, we do our best to support people once they're housed. But what they're missing is having people there when they're struggling. They can walk outside their cabin door and find support right away, you know, participate in activities with other people. And once you go to permanent housing, your own apartment, you have to create a whole new network. They miss that support and sense of community.
Well, maybe Chrissy was saying an opportunity to volunteer at the new cabins.
Yep, or work too. We had a number of people that were residents of the cabin program trained to come back once they were housed as staff. The opportunity is still there. They still retain the training. So we're hoping that a number of our alumni will be able to come back as staff.
When we spoke last, there was a hope this could get going in a matter of months. Does this slow down progress? Does it keep going forward as it was?
It certainly wouldn't slow down progress. It gives us some, takes some pressure off and gives us some time to, you know, when we make decisions at the board level, we've been having lots of discussions about whether and when to spend money and whether it's fiscally responsible to be spending money on Crossroads. If we hadn't got the extension and the deadline hit, we've spent money on trying to get Crossroads open, right? And is that responsible? It's people's money. We don't want to be irresponsible with donations. So we've had lots of conversations like, do we do this? We don't do this. Do we keep pushing forward? And do we spend the money that in the original motion, the city had committed $150,000 towards pre-construction, getting through the planning process and purchasing the 18th cabin? Well, we've done that now with help from the Davies Foundation and other donors, because we needed those things to be able to move forward. And so the city has said that they will consider reimbursing expenses that we've put towards pre-construction when, you know, we finally get to an agreement. Last week was a whirlwind. We had a number of people reach out for support. So we have the support of a digital marketing company now who's going to help us with explaining to the public what we do, because we spend our time with people. We don't spend a whole lot of time on marketing. We don't spend any money on marketing. We invest in the people. And so the challenge is that the public doesn't have as much awareness of what we do. So this company has stepped up and said that they'll help us out with fixing that challenge. And we did secure a line of credit for $700,000 at 2% interest. We're not intending on running Crossroads Village on a line of credit. It's just there to provide some buffer in case money is coming, but we don't have it yet. It's just to help secure our financial stability. We received funding from the Davies Foundation last week, $20,000 to retrofit the cabins with a different kind of heating cooling system. When the cabins were open, we just had portable AC units like window shakers and portable heaters. This way we can install them right into the cabins. And so we don't have to seasonally remove them and swap them out. It gives more space for residents inside their cabin because they'll be installed in the walls. So they'll have more floors.
And speaking of the cabins, part of the motion was to allow you to see the cabins. Are you excited? Are you nervous about seeing them?
Honestly, I'm not sure what to think. We have no knowledge of where the cabins are being stored or how they're being stored. And when we talked to counselors, we said we'd really like an opportunity to check on them to make sure that they're still secure and safe and usable. The cabins are very tightly built for air leaks. They're built for the Arctic. So all of the corners and the seams are epoxied together and have a special join to make sure there's no air leaks. So they've been sealed up for 2 years. So we're a little concerned about organic material. People were in the cabins. So does that mean mold? Were they properly handled being moved to wherever the storage location is? We want to make sure they're in good shape while we keep fighting for them.
There was a conversation last night about the integrated care hub, and there was a proposal by one of the counselors talking about different ways of doing things. And he was referencing models in other countries, and it wasn't accepted.
I've done some investigating into what Councillor McLaren has been expressing support for in terms of what Finland did. I've worked with him on interviewing people in need of housing to develop a plan, a Kingston strategy for supporting people out of homelessness. And I'm an entrepreneur, so I believe in what he was expressing. I'm not sure if you don't have an entrepreneurial mindset, maybe it was harder to understand, but it's how OLS operates. We listen to people that are living the challenges and then we respond. I do a lot of expressing of like, we're just the administrative minions. And the people that we support are the ones who guide us and show us the way forward. And so OLS, in response to safety emergencies on the street, in January, we launched an initiative to get 100 people trained in first aid, people with lived and living experience. And then the announcement of the CTS closing
Consumption and Treatment Services.
came. And so we pushed up our deadline. So we were aiming for 100 people by the end of December. And so now we've pushed up our deadline to be the end of September so that we have 100 people out there trained in first aid so they can identify medical emergencies and then also respond until emergency services can get on site. We're hoping that effort also alleviates some pressure on emergency services and unfortunately the coroner as well. So that entrepreneurial thinking and what Mr. McLaren was describing is how OLS operates. We also, identified communication is a big challenge. People with limited incomes are very hesitant to pay for cell phone plans. And, even if they can get a cell phone, they're usually operating on Wi-Fi. But as soon as they're away from certain buildings, they have no connection. So we're developing a mesh core communication network that works off grid and it runs on radio frequencies. So people will be able to communicate by text. We're working right now with a team of people to get the network stable and coverage across the whole city. So thankfully, some churches have agreed to participate with us. Getting the repeaters, they're called, up on their spires will help with that coverage and help with that reliability. We're pretty excited. We're hoping by the end of the summer, we'll have a pretty solid network. And our estimated cost for developing this network is only $2,700 to build a communication network that's off grid. So when the power goes out and nobody else can use their cell phones, we'll still be able to communicate. But it means that we'll be able to reach the people that we support and we'll be able to keep track of our street outreach team, which is a concern. As when we were developing a plan with the people on our team, one of the things they said is they want us to be able to find them if, something could happen.
So a lot of exciting projects underway, a lot of exciting opportunities on the horizon. What are the next steps for you?
I have to send out a whole bunch of emails today. Of like, because we're all sitting on pause, waiting, like, should we proceed, not proceed? We're not sure. Like, are we going to hit this deadline and be done, or are we going to be able to get past it? So I have a lot of emails to send out saying, okay, we're going ahead. Our next step in terms of Crossroads pre-construction planning is a wastewater study. So we gave the engineer we work with a go-ahead for that last night. And then the marketing team that has offered support, that's our my next email is to say, okay, we're good. And then continuing to look for opportunities. We're working on a social enterprise that will hopefully generate both jobs and funding for Crossroads Village. We're working forward with it, but we couldn't get it completed by the June 30th deadline. So we're hoping that that proceeds and we can maybe launch it in the fall. And then looking for opportunities to keep providing support for the people we support, but also finding ways to generate the funding from within our organization.
And I would imagine, despite this extension, you're still open to ideas from the community,
Absolutely.
partnerships, sponsorships. If you can just reiterate, how do people reach out to you if they want to support this initiative, help you get Crossroads Village up and running well before the extension deadline?
Before winter would be amazing. Our website is ourlivable.solutions, and then our email address is info@ourlivable.solutions as well. We can be found on Facebook, and our phone number is 613-383-2292. So feel free to reach out. Any questions at all, any ideas at all. This is really truly a community effort. So if more community members can help us figure this out, that would be amazing.
Well, I know you have a busy time ahead, so I will leave it there, but thank you so much. I'm really happy that this is the conversation that we got to have.
Thank you for your support too.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is your sports report brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. We begin by recapping the weekend that was for the Kingston Grenadiers. Four games for the Grenadiers. Let's start with the U16 squad, who fell 37-1 on the road against Brampton. The U12 Grenadiers picked up the biggest win in program history so far with a 52-20 victory on the road in Oshawa. The U14 Grens picked up a hard-fought 26-8 victory over North Toronto. And the U18 Grenadiers, my goodness, a 61-12 victory, taking sole possession of first place in the Eastern Division in the OSFL. On the note of the Kingston Grenadiers, Sunday, June 21st is the Dale Sands Memorial Game, aka Grens Tackle Tumors, which is a cancer fundraiser. More information can be found on the Kingston Grenadiers website. In World Cup news, the Canadian men's national team made history with their first World Cup point in a 1-1 tie with Bosnia and Herzegovina. The tying goal scored by Kyle Larin. The biggest result of the early stage was actually another tie, this one a 0-0 result between the second-ranked Spain and the 67th-ranked Cabo Verde. Canada plays their next game on Thursday, June 18th at 6 p.m. against Qatar. But more on that next week. This is the conclusion of today's Sports Report, brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Rainy, stormy day, Wednesday, June 17th. 21 was your high, with a 40% chance of showers throughout the day and a risk of a thunderstorm, dropping down to 15 overnight. Thursday, June 18th, rainy conditions in the forecast, showers throughout the day, high of 22 degrees, but otherwise quite cloudy, dropping down to 13 overnight. More rain in the forecast all weekend long, starting with Friday, June 19th, 21 is your high, with a 40% chance of rain, dropping down to 12 degrees overnight. Saturday, June 20th, not exactly an ideal start to the Skeleton Park Arts Fest, as we have a high of 22, but a 40% chance of rain, dropping down to 11 overnight with a 30% chance of precipitation. Sunday, June 21st, 21 is your high, 30% chance of rain, 12 is your overnight low. And then starting off next week, Monday, June 22nd, daytime high of 22 with, guess what, more rain in the forecast, this time a 30% chance of showers. This is Jesse Bell with your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. On Bath Road between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays as crews continue installing intersection pedestrian signals. Over on King Street from Country Club Drive to Front Road, expect delays as Utilities Kingston work has reduced traffic to one lane each direction. Watch for lane shifts, reduced speeds, and shared lane signage. Cranbrook Street from Days Road to Lakeview Avenue will be closed from 8:40 to 9:20 a.m. in the morning and 3:20 to 3:50 p.m. in the afternoon as part of the School Streets program, restricting access during school drop-off and pickup times. Wright Crescent remains closed between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent for roadway repairs and safety improvements. Construction continues on Princess Street from Frontenac to Division as part of a major reconstruction project. Long-term closures remain in place on Aberdeen Street between Johnson and William and Barry and Queen. And Sydenham Street is closed to through traffic between Princess and Queen for the Sydenham Street Community Space. On-street parking on Sydenham Street does, however, remain available.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Genevieve Hinch, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community festivals, workshops, theater, pride events, or just something fun to do around the city, there is plenty of things happening this week in Kingston, so let's get into it. On Wednesday, Queen's University hosts Indigenous Health Day from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., while the Tech Gallery continues its In Memory of Rose exhibition. If you're looking for something social, Wonderland hosts a board game night beginning at 6 p.m. Later that evening, Something in the Water Brewing Company presents The Beach Episode, a drag and burlesque showcase running from 8 to 11 p.m. Live music highlights include Vince DeBeal at the Bank Gastro Bar and music from Big Pink featuring the Bourbon Tabernacle Choir at Hotel Wolf Island. Thursday starts bright and early with a summer solstice forest therapy walk at Little Cataraqui Creek Conservation Area. The Kingston Public Market returns to Springer Market Square throughout the day, while the Kingston LGBTQ+ Business Mixer takes place in the evening. Film lovers can catch a free outdoor screening of But I'm a Cheerleader in Springer Market Square at 8:15 p.m. Live music includes Morgan Davis at the Cove Inn, Alex Mundy and Friday's Child at the Broom Factory, and a jam night at the RCHA Club. Friday is packed with music, theater, and community events. Skeleton Park Arts Festival officially gets underway with Walks of Life, an open mic night at Next Church. Domino Theater continues performances of Very Heaven, while music fans can catch Fleetwood Nicks and Practically Petty at the Sphere, Parabolus at the Broom Factory, and Philip John Leland, Sandro Perry, and Sing Leith at Hotel Wolf Island. Gerald McGrath also takes the stage at the Turnanog later in the evening. Heading into Saturday, one of Kingston's biggest weekends of the summer begins. Skeleton Park Arts Festival takes over McBurney Park with live music, art, food, and family activities throughout the day. Downtown Kingston hosts the Princess Street Promenade, turning the city's main street into a pedestrian-friendly celebration of local businesses, performers, and vendors. The Montreal Street Vintage Market also returns, while Daft Brewing hosts the Mike McPherson Memorial Music Fundraiser. In the evening, Trans Family Queer Prom takes place at the Ambassador Events Center. Music highlights include Y2D Wayne at McKinnon Brothers Brewing Company, Squid Pistol at Spearhead Brewing, and Al Lerman at the RCHA Club. Wrapping things up, Sunday, National Indigenous Peoples Day celebrations take place at Confederation Park from 1 to 6 p.m. Skeleton Park's Arts Festival continues throughout the day with performances across multiple stages. Live music include Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn Waterside Patio, Gizmo, Naked by Nine, and Lumpfish at the Broom Factory, and Sounds on Synonym closing out the festival at McBurney Park. The Memorial Center Farmers Market also returns from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. for anyone looking to spend a relaxing Sunday supporting local vendors. That's your weekly events and concerts calendar for June 15th through the 21st. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. So be sure to check out their upcoming shows and events throughout the season. I'm Jenny, and thanks for listening, and have a great week, Kingston!
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.